come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke. Now, this is a device, it's used for farming. We have a picture of it up here. But yeah, there's a picture of a yoke. We don't see them very often in our world today, but you use an oak to bind two oxen together so they can share the work in plowing a field. It's a powerful image and a reminder for each and every one of us that you and I, we are bound, we are yoked to something. And there are really two things which we can be yoked to. And we're going to compare and contrast them today, the easy and the heavy yokes. The world's yoke, which exhausts and enslaves, and Christ's yoke, which renews and makes whole. So I encourage you, if you haven't done so already, take out your sermon notes on the third page. We'll be going through it, and take a look at those questions after service on the right-hand side. Talk about it, pray about it with your families, and continue forward. But let's get after it. The first thing we're going to look at is the heavy yoke. Now, this heavy yoke, it goes beyond just tired old bones. It's a soul that's been crushed by life's relentless demands. All of life's responsibilities and tasks, they reduce us to a life of hurry. Hurry. Now, I encourage you, if you haven't done so already, well, actually, you will not be able to do this. We sold out of these books, actually, in the first two services, so we'll order more for next week. But if you're not in a small group, you're not connected, this is a great time to get to know some other people. If not, buy this book off Amazon. I found it for $15. If not, it'll be available next weekend. But this book, it speaks to the ruthless elimination of hurry. And if we can think about it, I'm sure all of us in some way, shape, or form struggle with hurry. But why make the big deal about hurry? Well, hurry, I would suggest, is one of the most dangerous vices to our spiritual lives today. Think about it. In this past week, in this past morning, I've talked to some of you who gave me this response. How many times did you hear this refrain from people? How are you? You ask them, and they reply, good, just busy. Yeah. Now, I should say busy itself. Busyness is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, we are made to do stuff. And by this definition, Jesus himself was quite a busy guy. So what's the difference between busyness and this hurriedness? Well, hurriedness, I suggest, does not make room for love. I'd submit to you today that love and hurry are incompatible with each other. Like, how does your mood change when you find yourself in a hurry? And if I think about my worst moments as a man, as a husband, as a pastor, a teacher, a child of God, most of my worst moments are when I'm in a hurry. When I'm late for work, when I'm behind on an unrealistic to-do list, or when I get interrupted when I'm in deep thought for a sermon or a teaching lesson. Those are my moments when I'm probably at my worst. And it's probably when I feel the furthest from being loving. Hurry and love, they're like oil and water. They just don't mix. Let me offer you something even deeper. It's been suggested that you are who you really are during the interruptions of your life. Those unscripted moments, those things you just can't plan for, they show you who you really are. And I'll own it, if that's true, I'm a pretty terrible person. But if you're sitting there and thinking the same thing, just trust that you are in good company. But too much of a hurried life, it makes you feel like you're caught on a treadmill or stuck on a hamster wheel. Always moving, never arriving. Always striving, never completing. Always hurrying, never loving. And this leads to one of the classical vices, which is known as acedia. Now, I throw up the Latin word acedia up there because when you translate it into English, You think about this picture that we're going to show in a second. Go ahead and show the picture. Yeah, that's right. You think of sloths. So now we think about these slow, adorable, hairy animals. But sloth, it is so much more than speaking or moving slowly. It's more than just laziness. Sloth is a spiritual apathy and emptiness. The hurried life, it can quickly lead to sloth. You guys have experienced this, I'm sure, when you end up doing way too much and then you end up not caring about anything. To help illustrate this point, here's a quote from a writer named Dorothy Sayers. Sloth is the sin that believes in nothing, cares for nothing, seeks to know nothing, interferes with nothing, enjoys nothing, loves nothing, hates nothing, finds purpose in nothing, lives for nothing, and only remains alive because there is nothing it would die for. Pretty insightful quote if you think about it. And I'm willing to bet that all of us, in some way, shape, or form, have been subject to sloth. It's what the heavy yoke of the world leads to. And what does the heavy yoke of the world result in? Let me give you two pitfalls that we can tend to fall into. So, first one is indifference, just not caring about anything anymore. Imagine, if you will with me, a beautiful cathedral. And now imagine that it's been abandoned over the course of a generation. The doors are barred. There's no roof on it anymore. And all the different rooms inside are dormant and cold. There's no more warmth there. That's your soul when indifference reigns. We're still there, but there's no life to us. Coldness, it invades all of our relationships. We don't care about our neighbors anymore. Because we can't see how it would make a difference, we end up neglecting our relationship with God, not making time for Him for worship or for prayer. But both of these are symptoms of a much larger issue. And indifference, really at the end of the day, it is simply a loss of hope. Stuck under the heavy yoke of the world, all of our striving and struggling, it seems to count for nothing. And at our frantically hurried pace, we get our work done without any room for love. Indifference, that is one pitfall. Here's the other one. It's called licentiousness. Instead of staying under the heavy yoke of the world, you choose to go your own way. Let me get ahead of myself here for a minute. Do you think it's strange that when Jesus invites us to rest, he says, here's some farming equipment? Like, think about that. That seems a little strange. Like, we're struggling, we need a break, and Jesus gives us a job. Well, licentiousness, that's what happens when we don't have a yoke. We choose to wander off the farm unyoked into the wilderness. But living yokeless, it has its consequences. Without a yoke, you have no work, you have no job, which might sound great at first. I mean, unlimited vacation. There you go. But after a while, you tend to realize that you have no purpose or direction in life. So what do? We find our numbing agents of choice. And our society that we live in today is great at making them. We're so good at it. Many of them can be found in the little supercomputers that are in our pockets. I'll go buy some new shiny stuff on Amazon to help plug the hole. I'll get some more shiny stuff. I'll go binge watch the latest Netflix series. I'll watch porn. I'll play Candy Crush. Now, not every numbing agent is created equal. Some are much more harmful to our spiritual lives than others, but licentiousness, it seeks to fill the hole that throwing off the yoke creates. Indifference and licentiousness, they're sins that the heavy yoke it forces on your heart, and ones we all fall victim to from time to time. But what contrasts that heavy yoke is the easy yoke of Jesus. Here again his words, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, some of you, I imagine, are good Lutherans, and you might be a little put off about being asked to do stuff. Let's be clear. Jesus, he's not talking about justification by grace alone through faith. Jesus died for your sins, and nothing we could have done will ever take it away from you. It's grace. Here again, that verse from Romans we heard earlier, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the story, it doesn't end there. That little phrase, learn from me, it means the same thing as disciple. You could just as easily translate it, disciple me, or follow after me. We learn from Jesus how to live what I'm going to call the rhythmic life. And Jesus, he lived this rhythmic life too. One thing I want to dwell on for just a minute. Jesus was, in fact, true man, but I'm sorry, he was also true God, but he was, in fact, true man. In many ways, Jesus, he demonstrated what it meant to be a perfect man. And one of the things Jesus always appeared to be was unhurried. Now, he was a busy man for sure, and his disciples, they definitely got on his nerves sometimes, but the man wasn't hurried. And if you read all the Bible stories, you'll realize a ton of them in the Gospels are interruptions. And Jesus, he never said to someone that was in need, I'm busy right now, but here's Thaddeus, this disciple no one's ever heard of. He'll see to your needs for today, but I'm out, goodbye. No, he didn't. He also didn't say like, here, speak to my assistant Judas. We'll see if we can squeeze you in next week Tuesday or something like that. No, that ain't the way that Jesus operates. We're meant to follow his example. And one time, when he was preaching in a house, there was an interruption. People were digging through the roof of the house to get to Jesus to be able to heal their paralyzed friend. And Jesus doesn't get mad at them. In fact, he commends them for how great their faith was. Jesus lived through the interruptions of life. But even with everything going on, he still made time to rest. He was known for getting up early in the morning to pray with his Father. He went to synagogue on the Sabbath, which is the equivalent of what you're doing here today. We are meant to follow his life as an example. Jesus lived by these holy cadences. There's a rhythm. There's a beauty to God's creation, and Jesus, he is tuned into it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says that there is a time for everything and a season for everything under the sun. Let's go back to farming for a minute. There's a time to fertilize the ground. There's a time to plant. There's a time to water and a time to harvest and a time for the ground to be laid rest. These are patterns. There's rhythms that God has wired into his creation, and we ought to follow after them. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to explore four of these rhythms, these cadences: silence and solitude, Sabbath, simplicity, and slowing. And as we live with these rhythms, these habits in mind, you might find that you end up living a better life. Now, let's make expectations clear. It won't be a perfect life. Sin still definitely has its day in our world today. But there is something to following his example and striving to live like Christ did. It's what we're called to do as his disciples. What if you lived your life as if every moment mattered? Every situation, every interaction had meaning to it. Instead of being stuck on a treadmill of life, you ran the race of life with eyes wide open. That's what we're going for in this series, guys. Instead of a life ruled by sloth, what if it was ruled by zeal? Zeal, it's a funny word. It's not one we use too often, but a zealous life is a life full of not frantic striving, but a life spirit-driven with passion. It's one where we realize that our steps are ordered by our Almighty Lord who loves us and gave his very life for us. It's about having a life worth living. And for the rest of our time here today, I want to focus on one particular rhythm that undergirds this whole idea, the rhythm of work and delight. First part of this is work. You and I, God, he made us to work. This is why Jesus offers us farming equipment instead of nap time. Now, back at the dawn of creation, God made the Garden of Eden for Adam. Not Adam for the Garden of Eden. Think about that for a minute. Having a job, it is hardwired into our very being. It's also beyond just careers. It's also parenting. It's marriage. It's every situation that you're in. It's anything that says, I'm doing what I'm created by God to do. And we're urged to get after our work too. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Anybody ever make pottery before? Just curious. Oh, I got some hands up. Excellent. I did once. I was terrible at it. But there is something beautiful, the hard work that it takes to form simple clay into something beautiful. In the same way, in your daily tasks, in your work, in your relationships, in every moment, Christ invites you to co-create beauty in his kingdom. But we weren't all just made to work. All work and no play, it makes us all dull boys and girls. We were also made for delight. And by delight, I mean soul-nourishing joy in the presence of your God. It's when we make time and space to be loved by him. It's when he encourages you. It's when he builds you up. It's when we gather for worship, when we spend time with him in prayer. It's found when we slow down and spend time with those he has placed in our life. It's set aside time for God to be present with you. The psalmist says, Lord, in your presence there is fullness of joy. Some of you guys are going to receive First Communion here today, and all the rest of us will as well. When you come up for communion today, I hope you do it with a smile on your face, because it's when our Lord comes and serves you with his very body and blood. It's something that we can all delight in. And in turn, out of thanks for our Father's love, we praise him for all he's ever done for us, for bearing our burdens in his Son's death on the cross and the blessed victory that we have in him. So I encourage you, carve out time and space for these moments of delights. No phones, no schedules, just you and your Lord and whatever brings you delight in him. And then let this delight, let it fuel the work you have to do, serving others in your community, your family interactions, your jobs. Let them all be expressions of your joy that's found in Jesus. Here again the words from Jesus. Come to me, all who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. Which yoke are you wearing today? The world's heavy yoke of hurry, apathy, and sin? Or Jesus' easy yoke of rhythm, zealous service, and delight? Come to him. Lay down the burdens that you cannot bear, and take up his easy yoke and walk in step with your Savior. There you will find true rest, not from life's work, but in life's work, with him beside you. Amen. We'll now watch a video.